It is our custom to pause a few moments for silent prayer before beginning our second session, allowing you the opportunity for a rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for another opportunity to continue our pursuit of truth. It is our prayer the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us as we continue this examination of your word. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. I want to reiterate before we begin that what I am about to do is considered by me to be an illustration, and you may either ignore, augment, or utilize as you see fit. These excerpts come from the book by Monty Roberts, 4 Cents for People. They're extracted from chapter 5, entitled Respect, and the sub-paragraph is the blackboard system. It begins on page 133. He writes that for decades now I have used a system that has worked well to provide parents with an objective way of dealing with the behavior of their children. If you can give your student the chance to choose his or her own consequences, you will instill a sense of responsibility over his or her own actions, taking yourself out of the punishment business. In other words, let them punish themselves. And you do this by constructing a system that emphasizes their free will. Make them make mistakes. And let them learn from them is the concept. Once the horse taught me through their own actions how it worked, I knew I could apply the same methods to young people we began to bring into our home. Naturally, there were aspects of this system that changed when applied to human students, but it amazed me how easily it translated from Equus to English. The essential elements of this system are as follows. Each child has 2 boards. They're about 2 feet by 3 feet. These belong to both parent and child and are placed in a prominent position where it is easy for both to view them without difficulty. I prefer to have them outside the child's room and in an area that is open to the entire family. Primary objective of this system is to bypass the parent as the administrator of discipline or punishment. It sets up a contract whereby child and parent bilaterally agree on the response to positive or negative behavior. Both parent and child will agree on the response to positive behavior or what the response would be to negative. A secondary goal is to bring the young person to an understanding of contracts and responsibilities. I have found this system extremely effective in educating young people in the principle, my word is my bond. There needs to be this kind of instruction for adults. God's word is his bond. What you find written in the word of God is backed by divine integrity. If you absorb these principles into your soul, then you will share to that degree, the integrity of God. And whatever you say to others will be the thing you intend to do. Never tell someone you're going to do something and then decide not to. For if you follow that procedure, you will have self-justified, you will be involved in self-deception, and you will be totally self-centered. When you tell someone you're going to do it, you've given your word. You've entered into a verbal contract. And therefore, you're bound by it. Do you get that? You want God to keep his word. You come here because you're convinced he will, and that when you learn these principles and apply them to your lives, that God will follow through. Are you willing to make that principle effectual in your own life? The good place to make sure it starts in the life of your child is at the get-go and train them about contracts, entering into an agreement, and being held to what the paragraphs have to say. I will do this for you if you stop this behavior. The following will occur if you don't stop the behavior. And that's the contractual system that we're introducing here. Now there was a time, he writes, and I, by the way, am old enough to remember this with my grandfather and my father. There was a time when a high percentage of people lived by this theory, my word is my bond. There was a time when a high percentage of people lived by this theory. It could have been the rural nature of the environment where I was raised, but I can recall a time when shaking a man's hand while looking him in the eye was considered more binding than today's legal contracts. It would be wonderful if we were had that case today, but unfortunately, we do not. Can you imagine, however, how much better a chance your children would have in life if that became a guiding principle for them? Today, with integrity in such short supply, your child could be a real hero if people knew they could count on his word. Now that is a sign of developing maturity when a child can assume concepts of integrity such as this, and that they can be counted on. Let me give you an example. Have you ever told one of your children, please do thus and so before you leave home? Whatever it might happen to be. Actually a chore that consumes a fairly minimal amount of time. And doesn't get done. And you inquire why. And you get back the lame excuse, I forgot. I forgot. And when they say that, you know, you want to point out, you want to enter into the anger mode and say, you forgot. You have so few functional neurons that you can't remember a simple request over a period of a few minutes. You are incapable of abstract thought. I didn't realize that we had a mental cripple on our hands. Maybe you need therapy. See, this is, don't misunderstand me. I'm saying this is what you want to say. Certainly you wouldn't say that to little Johnny, of course, but I'd ruin him for life, but it's what you want to say. What if little Johnny could line up with this deal? Where, yes, sir, I'll take care of it, and it gets done, and it gets done every time. You got somebody you're ready to reward there. You're going to look for ways to reward this. Provided you get over the shock. Point one. The blackboard system about to be described is a method that emphasizes volition and stresses both the benefits of making good decisions and the consequences of making bad ones. So the child is in this particular system is going to find that his volition is center stage and that the ramifications of good decisions is going to be a reward. Ramifications of bad decisions is going to be some level of punishment. And he can make the choice. And the thing is parents learn to get out of the way of this. Parents want their children to be perfect. I'm telling you, that is irrational. There are going to be unfulfilled expectations in that family. And the thing to do is get these bad decisions out in the open early, get them out there where everybody can see them, and let's get the punishment done so we can start organizing correct thought. So you ought to really encourage bad behavior in a sense is let it happen. Let it happen. And then follow through with the system we're about to note. Two. Roberts insists that the parents are removed as the administrator of discipline or punishment, and we've established that they most certainly are not. I disagree with that. God has assigned them that duty. Now, you don't want to be involved in the administration of punishment. That certainly no one desires that area of the responsibility. But you are held responsible for it, and I assure you, you're going to have to utilize that, or you will cede authority in the home over to your own children. So Roberts insists that parents are removed as the administrator of discipline or punishment, but we've established that they most certainly are not so removed. However, Monty's system does place the burden of whether the child falls under discipline or receives reward squarely upon his free will decisions, and that is a biblical concept. Parents need to train children how to use their volition, and that means when you give them the opportunity to use it, they quite often will use it improperly, and then when they're disciplined for it, it works as a buck stopper. And let's get the bucking stopped early is the issue here. 3. It might be better phrased that parents serve as intermediaries who are bound by the system to carry out either punishment or reward. God has set up the system. The parents are the intermediaries. They've been given the authority and the power, and therefore it is their duty before God to function in these ways. They are not, therefore, the cause of either reward or punishment, but they are the conduit for them. What's the cause for reward? Good behavior. Parents are the conduit for the reward. What's the cause for punishment? Bad behavior, volitional decision. Parents are the conduit for the punishment. They're not the cause, they're the conduit. 4. The child soon learns that his own free will decisions cause either punishment or reward, and his parents are simply the conduit through which they travel. Gets to be very impersonal. The parents can function as professionals. It's not a personal thing, it is a professional concept. I've been given the duty here. I prefer reward. That's God's attitude. I prefer to bless. I will use severity when necessary to steer people back into wheel tracks of righteousness so blessings may resume. I am willing to discipline if necessary, says God, in 3 different categories. And that is love. God would not be expressing love for his children if he allowed deviations to go unnoticed and therefore deny these people the opportunity of blessings and reward. To allow deviation, therefore, to continue is not an expression of love. It is an expression of disinterest at best and hatred at worst, according to the scripture. And we've noted the passage. He who does not discipline his son hates his son. Proverbs. So point 5, this sets the child up for the Christian way of life. Once saved, the blackboard system is joined by the Bible system. The policies that establish good behavior and identify bad behavior are learned from the Word of God. When the child is evangelized and responds to it, he becomes a member of the royal family. He has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Through rebound, the availability of the filling of the Holy Spirit and his mentorship, and therefore they may comprehend the teachings of the Word of God. Children may comprehend divine thought under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in these instructive environments, whether it be at the home, prep school, or church, the child is given the opportunity to absorb this information through his own free will, and therefore may become responsible for making decisions based on that information. Reward for compliance, discipline for non-compliance. And they've already learned the system. They've already learned it at home before salvation. If I go by this, I will be blessed by God. As in the past, I was blessed by my parents for complying with house rules. I understand that concept now. I can apply it in my spiritual life. If I disobey this mandate, then I am going to be disciplined by God as in the past. I was disciplined for noncompliance with house rules by my parents. And so you see the correlation between parental authority and divine authority as we've seen developed in Hebrews 12. And I think this illustration here that Roberts has developed at Flag Is Up Farms for the foster children that come in there, it's worked effectively for him and therefore serves as a good illustration. The reason I'm attracted to it is it emphasizes the volitional decisions of the children, and they have to live with those decisions, and they make corrective decisions if it's too painful. And of course, the other side of the ledger, they're willing to go to the path of least resistance, which is reward for good behavior, once they learn the system and once they learn the consistency of it. So let's go with five again. This sets up the child for the Christian way of life. Once saved, the blackboard system is joined by the Bible system. The policies that establish good behavior and identify bad behavior are learned from the Word of God. The child must be taught that God is the conduit of reward for keeping His policies and of punishment for not doing so. You got to face it someday, may as well get it early. Six. Just as the earthly father punished him for violations of policies established in the blackboard system, so also his heavenly father will punish him for violations of policies established in the Bible system. They got a heads up on this deal at home. The blackboard system establishes the concept of volitional responsibility, reward for compliance, punishment for noncompliance. Now, once saved, they can orient to the divine system of reward and punishment for compliance and noncompliance with reference to biblical mandates. And obviously there's going to be crossover between the two as they learn doctrine. Further, seven. The child learns the principle of contracts, the act of entering into agreements which require compliance with established standards. They will see this come into play not only in their spiritual life, but once they move into society. For example, when they enter school and the school has rules. Well, at least they used to. And when they go into a school that has rules, they have no problem with compliance. They've understood this before, that noncompliance will draw some form of discipline from the administration or from the teacher. If they comply, they're going to be left alone. That's the beauty of a free society. When you obey the law, you're ignored. How many policemen do you know by name that are not related to you? I know the name of no policeman, except those that I befriended in Houston who were members of Baraka. And I know a couple in this church. That's it. I don't run into these guys. I should, but I don't. I don't rob banks. I don't break into people's homes, pillage, rob, rape. I've done away with all of those things. Therefore, if you obey the law, it turns out the law ignores you. And that's the reward, freedom. So child learns the principles of contracts, the act of entering into agreements which require compliance with established standards. He learns that once he signs on to a contract, he is honor bound to fulfill it. And if he doesn't, there's going to be discipline. This builds personal integrity as the child learns how to trust others and to be trusted. And he will learn to trust his parents because the parents are going to execute whatever his volition mandates. If he complies, the parents will bless and reward. If they don't, they're derelict. Don't promise anything you can or won't fulfill. If they are in non-compliance, they learn to trust the parents. They are going to carry out and execute the disciplinary measure that's up on the blackboard. That's been agreed to, signed off on, hands have been shaken, heads have been nodded. Point eight. This system enables parents to become professional administrators of policy. Child learns to conform to policy by the exercise of free will. So the parents administer policy. It's a very professional thing. The child learns to conform to policy, and he does it through free will. And the free will has to be trained. And sometimes it requires buck stoppers or lesser forms of discipline. Benevolence, therefore, is emphasized through reward, while severity is emphasized through punishment. Now more excerpts from Horse Sense for People, now on page 134. It's not a bad idea if the two boards you supply to each child are a different color or identified by different frames or some other distinguishing feature. They've about done away with blackboards, but they have these dry erase boards, they call them, that now are white, not black. And you use these little fuzzy tip pens that just sort of vanish when you rub something across them. And they come in different colors. That would be some other distinguishing feature. Different colored pens, and I'm getting to that. A different visual appearance dramatizes the different content of the boards. One board should be labeled positive, the other negative. You got a board here, dry erase we'll call it. This is positive. And this one over here is negative. Positive and a negative. Now let's take a note here. Let's think about prep school for a moment. Some of you have been through the prep school system, and some of you therefore know about this. Parents have received the handouts, and therefore if you've had children in prep school or have them now, you possibly have received the handouts I'm about to show you. Prep school has a color code that the children learn the first day of class or among the first few days of class. And learning about volition and choices, green indicates decisions from positive volition, while red indicates decisions from negative volition. And here are some of the things that you may have seen. Children, this is quoting Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. And this shows obedience. And you've got the green button, which is positive. That's the yes button. And the red button, which is negative, that's the no button. And down here you see children executing obedience to the request of their parents. This little boy here is taking out the garbage. This little girl is picking up her toys, and this one is drying a dish. And they all three have the green button lit up. They have saying yes to parental authority. And so green is a color code for these kids. And that's how they learn positive volition to either parental mandates or biblical mandates. And, of course, the no button is when they disobey or refuse or what have you. And so you see them being taught with volition here. Volition has two switches. You can switch on the yes button when you're positive, and when you're negative, you switched on your no button. And the color code, yes is green, no is red. And then there's a handout, and I'll have to hold this up, but it's big enough for you to see. They bring this home with them. This is the volition that you see, the big V. And they can go either way, as any of us can. They can go to the green button, turn that on, and they're positive to Word of God, positive to parental guidance, etc. Or if they're negative to the Word of God or negative to parental guidance, they switched on their no button, which is red. Now, all of that designed to show you that there's a system here whereby you can use these pens on a dry erase board, where the positive board you could use green ink, and on the negative board you could use red, as he is suggesting here. And so to complete the thought, when the child decides for Bible doctrine, he pushes the yes button of his volition. When he makes a decision opposed to Bible doctrine, he pushes the no button of his volition. The yes button is green, the no button is red. And this color code is perfect for the blackboard system: positive green ink, negative red ink. Now, in addition, the names of the child and parent should appear on both boards. The clear implication is that one board will deal with the positive factors of the child's life and the other with the negative. Further, it clearly establishes that the young person and the parent are both involved with the board and its objectives. So there's a contract that's involved here with actually three parties, the parents consisting of party A and the child party B. It is critical that the parent first sit down with the child and calmly talk through this procedure, allowing no emotion to come into the explanation. Obviously, when you get to this system, there have been violations of house policy, and therefore you have chosen this as the time to introduce this system. He is later going to recommend around 2 years of age, and it's really good to get this started before age two. So you begin to crank up this system as you see consistent bad behavior emerging in your child's daily activities. And so he writes here, it is critical that the parents sit down with the child. No emotion ought to come into his explanation of what's about to occur. Initiating this system should never appear to the child to be an act of a desperate parent who is seeking some bizarre method of dealing with the problems of their relationship. It's just, here's the policy, we're going to start instituting it today. And we are just going to have a fine time with this because there's reward in your future. I recommend that you deal with a positive board first. I recommend the blackboard system for children as young as 2 years old, despite the fact that they may not be able to read or write. The parent can describe what's on the board, and then taking the child's hand with a marker, help the child place his or her initials under a one-line contract. It is amazing what young brains can comprehend. The parent then initials the contract as well. After signing, the parent should make eye-to-eye contact with the child, shake hands, and say, "We now have a contract." Now, on the positive board, the parent should write down the policy that is designed to address misbehavior. For example, this is an example I made up. Fred, a three-year-old boy, is discovered trying to hit his one-year-old sister Maureen over the head with a toy hatchet. I actually didn't have to make that up. Shane received, for some occasion, a toolbox when he was about three. Had hammers and little plastic saws and plastic hatchets and plastic this and that. And we caught him trying to brain Shannon one day when she was about one. Shannon, of course, did nothing but collect dust. She would sit on the floor until she got sleepy and she would go to bed and get up and sit on the floor. All she did was collect dust. Now, it was amazing to me. I'm thinking, we should have girls. Shane, on the other hand, had decided by this time she had come to stay, and that all the attention was not directed toward him. It was being deviated to this mannequin here in the floor. And he was going to do away with her. And he'd been given this little toolbox, and in it was a hatchet, a little axe-type device. Plastic, of course. But for a one-year-old, could wield a great deal of pain. And we caught him trying to, well, do the Lizzie Borden routine on. So, you know, we went into hatchet control. Which, I don't know if it's a good idea. I mean, was it the hatchet's fault? No, it was not the hatchet. It was the volition behind the three-year-old trying to murder the one-year-old that had to be controlled here. So this is really not, you know, pulled out of thin air. So we have Fred here, a three-year-old boy. He's discovered trying to hit his one-year-old sister Maureen over the head with a toy hatchet. The policy would state, and this would be on the positive board in green ink, no hitting your sister over the head with a toy hatchet for 2 full days, and I will take you to visit your grandmother. Okay? Now that's positive. There's a reward attached to not braining your sister. Then you read the policy to Fred and each initial the contract and shake hands. You then move to the negative board where you have written in red ink, if you hit your sister with a toy hatchet within the next 2 days, you will scrub 3 tiles in the shower. You read the penalty clause, each signs it and shakes hands. The impact is greater if the penalty clause states an action to be accomplished rather than a privilege denied. I'm telling you, you can deny privileges to the point where they don't care. The idea is to make them work. What does Monty do with a horse that misbehaves? It makes him work. Makes him go back out to the wall and do it all over again. So you sent him to the wall of the shower. You must scrub 3 tiles. Monty explains the objectives of this disciplinary procedure beginning on page 137. Make it clear to the child that he or she is working as a negative consequence. This is punishment as per the red ink. I have found this to be an effective negative activity for tiny children because they can complete the procedure fairly easy without creating an enormous mess. Side B. Fred should be notified that should the negative behavior persist, the number of tiles will be increased. So you see, Maureen is still in some bit of danger here. Although he may clean the 3 tiles, he goes back out into the arena and he may be thinking revenge at this point. So if you do this again, the tiles are going to be increased. The parent has no excuse for not going to Grandma's house if Fred doesn't hit his sister with a toy hatchet. And there is no reason why he should not clean the tiles if he does hit his sister. Some children will attempt to control the parent by throwing a tantrum when faced with the prospect of cleaning a tile or some other chore. This is a defensive procedure, by the way. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to admit wrongdoing. I am not about to submit to this system, and I'll scream you into submission. Monty writes, I suggest that just as I do with my horses when they act out in a negative fashion, the parents simply step back and smile. No anger. No anger. You can't go into that cauldron of the cosmic system and fight it out with a 3-year-old. Parent needs to hold fast to the belief that they are doing the right thing. A tantrum is part of the training procedure and should be viewed as such. When the tantrum is over, then the child cleans the tiles. Parents must judge how far to press the issue of cleaning the tile. Begin this process by accepting the slightest positive you can find, and then reward the child by stating he has completed the task. This is a 20-year program. You start simple, and you just keep at it. Begin by accepting the slightest positive you can find, and then reward the child by stating he has completed the task. I recommend that the parent view this moment as a victory. Give the child a hug and say, I love you, letting him know that you're members of the same team. It is incredible how effective parents can be when creating paths for children to follow. Lifelong patterns of behavior can be established. Decision-making processes are now beginning to click in the child's soul. He's learned that a poor decision has limited his options and has brought him this discomfort and punishment. The psychology of positive reinforcement is more effective, and parents need to thoughtfully reinforce the paths they would like their children to follow, and that is accomplished by reward when they do things in a right way or comply to the system. Now, during the 2-day probationary period, the parents need to keep a sharp eye on Fred. Although he never did hit his little sister with the toy hatchet, he did on one occasion pick it up, head her way with a telltale glint in his eye. I have seen it. Parents should let this go until critical point to see if Fred's volition will control his desire or if the sinful nature will influence him to commit the act. Which way, you see, you have to intervene on this one. Some of them you don't have to, you just let it go. But when a deadly weapon is involved, you have to keep a close eye and intervene. And you want to get in, you don't really want to have to go to the level of hatchet confiscation. That sets a bad trend. What you want is volition to use hatchets properly. But if he draws back in attack mode, then intervention is required. However, if he refrains from the act, then his volition has performed the corrective procedure. Now you're making progress. Only when necessary should parents become involved in either encouraging a positive decision or discouraging a negative one. And this is after policies have been established, agreed to, hands have been shaken, etc. The policy is understood. Now you want to see if the child can develop an internal governor and refrain from committing this act of his own free will. And when he does, reward that. Let him go to the point of committing the act again and then with consistency execute the penalty clause on the red board. Thus, training him. This is a training process that when you disobey the system, you are going to be punished and this is not going to be pleasing for you. So the path of least resistance is ultimately shifted over to compliance and reward. And this may take some time. As it does with horses, so shall it be with children. But parents must be patient, and we learned that in the early part of this study. It is a 20-year project, and it has to be consistent all the way, and parents have to stay with the program, whichever one they choose. But volition of the child has to be trained, and it can be trained in one of two ways, reward for compliance or discipline for noncompliance. And the parents must supervise and carry out either the reward clause or the penalty clause on every occasion. And this is work. I realize you're probably grinding in your mind, I don't have time for this. Let me tell you what you don't have time for. You don't have time for what's coming your way at age 13. That's what you don't have time for. If you don't have time for it, don't procreate. And there are methods to keep this from happening. In modern America, science has made great advances. You don't have to do this. If you don't think you can do this, don't procreate. I don't recommend procreation. It results in children. And you're going to do this. If you're going to punch out some biological lives for God to select, then you better devote some time to organizing this little critter's soul. Or you are going to wish you had when they turn 13, and then as they get to where they drive and leave the house in your car, what have you been thinking? Where are they going? Who are they going to see? What are they going to do? What are they eating? What are they drinking? What are they sniffing? You ever wonder? You don't have to wonder. Not if there's an internal governor built from the get-go. So you need to have time. If he draws back in attack mode, intervention is required. However, if he refrains from the act, then his volition has performed the corrective procedure. Only when necessary should parents become involved in either encouraging a positive decision or discouraging a negative one. The end result is going to wind up doing that. Good behavior is going to be encouraged by the reward. Bad behavior is going to be discouraged by the punishment. Eventually this will dawn on the child. If it is the child's volition that is important here. When positive decisions are made by the child, great progress has been made. And when Fred completes the two-day period successfully, then reward is in order. We note this from page 138. If Fred arrived at the designated time without committing the negative act, I recommend that the parent take the time to shake his hand, look him in the eye, and congratulate him on his victory, with another hug and a big smile, which never hurts. The child should feel loved and accepted by the parent, and feel that the presence of the parent has created a place of safety for him. And don't forget to agree on a time for the enactment of the positive consequence, the visit to Grandma's house. And when you're at Grandma's house, I strongly suggest you say, in the presence of the child and his grandma, "Fred has been a good little boy," and make it clear in his presence that he is being rewarded for good behavior. The parent needs not mention the negative behavior because it would only be a source of embarrassment. Point 9. The objective of this system is to develop a process by which the child's behavior is controlled intrinsically rather than extrinsically. Intrinsic, his own free will. Extrinsic, this has to do with various levels of discipline all the way to corporal punishment. And therefore, this is going to develop a different direction in our study, the difference between intrinsic and extrinsic management. We're going to do a summary in point 10 of what we've noted today, and then we'll move forward with those ideas. And so we'll use point 10 as a way to review on Tuesday what we've done this morning. And that's when we'll resume our study. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for the privilege of gathering here together this morning. We appreciate the opportunity to examine objectively the concept of child rearing and develop concepts that might be helpful to parents as they seek to train their child's volition, and therefore ultimately the child will be able to develop through your guidance and your direction and your leadership into a vessel of honor. And that is the end to which we hope we might accomplish these things as we seek to have parents more confident in their ability to manage their children and therefore seek for the next generation to have powerful individuals with the ability of thought, with the ability to make good decisions, and intrinsic integrity as those who lead this country. To that end, we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Charis human kai arene, plethynthae en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.